All right. It's my pleasure to introduce tonight's speaker, my man Robert. Come on up, buddy. Let's do this.
Woo! Good evening, folks. My name is Robert, and I am truly an alcoholic. But for the grace of a loving God, I got another day sober. As a matter of fact, it was 9,125 consecutive days, one day at a time. I can't believe it. This is my actual birthday, you know, and I get to be here to speak with you guys. And I just want to send all my respect and love out to everybody that showed up tonight. You know, I got a lot of people that came out to support, you know, my Mayor Mesa family, my Old Town Speaker family, you know. Might be some La Jolla speakers up in here. I don't know, but all of my people from South Bay and everybody, man, I appreciate y'all and my family. You know, I love you guys, and I hope that somebody get this message, whatever be said tonight, you know, and welcome Brian and Mike. Welcome home, brothers. You know, they told me, Yana, you are not alone, homie. That's the acronym for that, Yana. You are not alone. So you made it here. The only thing you have to do is just do the thing that's required, you know. My sponsor said it better than anybody. We have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And I know I have, man, because I'm still here. And I won't get my seat up for nothing, just for today, because this is where I need to be. You know, I can jump all off into this, man, and I'm really touched, man, because I got my granddaughter. Her birthday is coming up this month, and she'll be 8. I got my 3 beautiful daughters. All of you ladies and brothers up in here, y'all make this happen with me, man. If you guys, the support y'all show me and you people and these principles, I couldn't do this. I do it because I got a God today, and I'm going to let you guys know that. So I'm going to remove myself out the way. I think I'll give everybody their thanks, and I'm going to get on to whatever God's got in plan for me. If you give a moment while I just quote this prayer. My Creator, I'm now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bid. Amen. If you don't know, that's our 7-step prayer, you know. And I have to remove myself so God can intervene and speak through me, because I don't know who I might hit. But them 2 newcomers that introduced themselves and anybody else that be younger than me in this room, I hope and I pray, you know, that whatever be said tonight, that you take it to heart. Because the longest distance you're going to ever travel in this world is from your head to your heart. God don't want to know what my head is saying, because I had a little bunch of gangsters up in my head, and them midgets told me stuff. And I tell you like this because I wanted to share something, because this is our daily reflection, and this is one of our meditation books. And today, for my birthday, April the 12th, 2025, it says, giving up insanity. Where alcohol has been involved, we have been strangely insane. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 38. Alcoholism required me to drink, whether I wanted to or not. Insanity dominated my life, and I was the essence of my disease. It robbed me of the freedom of choice over drinking, and therefore robbed me of all other choices. When I drank, I was unable to make effective choices in any part of my life, and life became unmanageable. I asked God to help me understand and accept the full meaning of the disease of alcoholism. And for me, what that means, in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it told me that for facts yet obscured, I have lost the power of choice. See, my decision making was screwed up, man. I didn't know how to stand firm in my decision making. So I ran around this town like a Tasmanian devil for many, many years. In 26 years, man, I tell you, if you would have told me They had so many names for me, but they should have called me a crash dummy because that's what I was. And I had a helmet on, and I should have had a chin strap because I think too much. And I was so glad when I arrived here because them old-timers were saying some profound stuff like, think, 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 there's one of our sayings on the wall. And then their old-timer look over at me and say, don't think, Rob. And I'm like, these dudes is confused, man. But they knew who they was talking to. Because also in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it called me an outright mental defective. And I was in full flight from reality and didn't even know it. I thought I was a living legend in my own head. But I wouldn't hurt the person that hurted me the most. You couldn't do half of the stuff that I done to myself and lived through it. I would want to kill you. But I did more damage to myself than any man could ever do. So when they was talking about yesterday reading, I had to remove that word they call blame out of my vocabulary. Because I blamed everybody for my mishaps. But I was the cause of all my problems. I created all of that. See, I didn't know this program existed. This program came around in 1935. Brother like me wasn't even welcome to come in the front door. But they screwed up by making some traditions. And they came with tradition number 3. The only requirement for this membership is a desire, but they took that one word out. I had to have an honest desire. Because for many years I ran around here. I made resolutions. I drank too much yesterday. I won't do that again. Well, every year I want to tell everybody I ain't going to drink that much, but I'm going to have some. See, but I ain't that type of alcoholic. I ain't that bright. When they said I was an outright mental defective, he knew who he was talking about. How these white dudes write a book about a brother like me? But that's my story. Because I didn't know I was in full flight from reality. I didn't know that I had this problem. I didn't know I had lost the power of choice. I couldn't stand firm on my decision making. But coming into these rooms, I gained a little humility, man. I was so humiliated when I arrived here. Because I come from a world that I wouldn't recommend nobody to have to walk through some of the jungles that I walked through and live through it. I made it here by the grace of a loving God, man, and some people praying. And see, I had a praying mama. She wore her little knees out praying for me and my brothers because we were some bad dudes. And I thought I was the baddest, but I was a damn drunk that you will never meet. Boy, you don't want to meet me in the dark alley. One of my family was telling me today about, man, you the best dude that we can ever meet. Until I take a drink. And see, I didn't drink none of that good stuff y'all talking about, some of that old expensive bourbon and stuff. I drank Old English 800. And I love Mad Dog 2020. And I should have known I was an alcoholic when I took that first drink of Mad Dog 2020 at the age of 13. I stayed in East San Diego on Auburn, 4949 Auburn, in an apartment complex. And being a black man in America, boy, I thought I was all of that. And we drank that Mad Dog 2020. I tripped over a wall, rolled in some dirt, threw up, jumped up, and said, damn, that was fun. And I went on a mission for 26 years. So I can sit here and I can tell you all of these old hunky-dorian stories, man, and I'll tell you one more story, and that'll be all of the drunkalogue that you will ever get from me, because I don't glamorize the disease. I glamorize the program, and I give all gratitude back up to God, because it's through His mercy and His grace that I'm here, because I don't know what I was doing. And it was like a cloudy day. It was raining. Cats and dogs. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was out in Spring Valley drinking up a storm. It started pouring rain, and I said, I got this bright idea. They talk about this in the more about alcoholism, that peculiar mental twist. My brain will go there. And I had this great thought. Why am I walking around with a 1969 Thunderbird suicide doors with the keys in my pocket and drinking while it's raining? See, I ain't that bright. I told you I'm one of them alcoholics that don't think straight. I lost that power, man. But that thought came to my mind. I got that pretty car sitting over there. I might as well go to it. And I started walking towards that car, and I got to it. And I got in the car, and it was beautiful. Now I can go drink like a G. Boy, I'm safe. I can be out all night and drink everything that I can, because I didn't put up for tomorrow. We was drinking. We were drinking everything. And I sat there. And I started driving that car, and the car started driving itself. Chris, you hear what I'm saying? Oh, I know. So the car went and took me somewhere else. I didn't know where I was going, but I know I was going down a hill called Harness. You know about Spring Valley. And back then, you know, these nowadays, they something else. So all I was doing, the thought came back. My brain started clicking in. Now I know why the car was parked. Cause the damn thing didn't have no brakes. I can't go to jail for killing a lot of people, man. Oh no, I was tired, man. You see this hair up here? I can let my hair grow to let you see. This ain't no just for gray. This is real gray. I earned this stuff, man, over the years. And you know, it was so funny because I'm sitting here and I'm trying to come up with a great idea on how to stop this car. I'm scared now because if I keep going down and I'm going to run right into the 54 freeway and I'm going to kill a lot of people, or they don't kill me for sure. I know that. So back then, they had telephone poles. I get the bright idea, the peculiar mental twist, sits in again, hit the pole and stop the car. I hit that pole, it tore my butt up, boy. I hit that steering wheel, knocked me out. All these folks come running out their house. Sir, sir, you all right? I'm coming too. I'm like, what do you think? I just hit a fucking pole. I got, turned the car on, rolled the windows up. This is how mentally ill I was. Rolled the windows up, stumbled out the car, locked the doors, and walked away. See, back then we had 502s. Y'all call it DUIs, and I didn't even know what a DUI. I thought it was a 502. They had numbers back when I was drinking. Then they come with this old DUI, put that acronym on there, driving under the influence. I'm like, what is a DUI? I ain't that bright. I told you that. So as a result of this, that wasn't enough. But I landed in a program, man. I came to a hospital on my last drunk. And somebody finally hit that legend in the head with a foreign object and woke me up. And it was so much blood coming out of my head that all I wanted to do is kill this dude for hurting me again. But I knew I couldn't do it, man. I was tired. And when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you know the gig is up, quit throwing up the white flag and jump off the loose inside and get on the winning side. I didn't know where I was coming to. And my mom always said something crazy, and I love this woman because my mom got an opportunity to see her prodigal son get his life back. It was over 4 years when I lost my mom. I thought God was real cruel because I took a lot of hits, man, when I first got sober. And I watched a lot of my family members die. And see, I had selective hearing when I got here. When I talk about selective hearing, I heard what I wanted to hear. And when they were saying people won't be dying, I'm rubbing my hand. Oh, my enemy's going to be dying. I can't wait for these fools to die. They never told me the end of the story. It was going to be my loved ones. God was preparing me for my family. And I was losing loved ones back to back. And when I got to the 4 years, because he could have took my mom when I was in the penitentiary in the 90s. And I told my oldest brother, we were cellies in there. And I told my oldest brother, if I lose my mom while I'm in this dungeon, I don't have nothing to live for. Y'all seen three of my daughters, and I have a son. Three of my daughters came in this room, my biological daughters and my granddaughter. And I told my brother, I ain't got nothing to live for if I lose my mind while I'm in that penitentiary. I was going to go on a killing spree because I didn't want to come out of there. It would hurt me. And God heard my cry and opened the doors to that penitentiary. But I had no mental defense. I didn't know I had a problem. See, I thought everybody else had a problem. That's why I love the newcomers. They come in here talking about they got these back problems. We all got back problems when we arrive here. If I can get the judge off my back, the police department off my back, that wife off my back, the doggone kids, the dog off my back. That ain't back problems. That's everyday situations that normal people deal with. And I never knew how to deal with a problem. So I quit running around here talking about I got problems and talking about how big my problems was. Today I can tell my problems how big my God is. Because of this program and some principles, I've been able to get a relationship with a God. And you guys, a lot of y'all know, I'm real cold with this old speaking, man. I'm not a real professional speaker. I don't get paid for this. I get spiritually paid. And see, as a black man in America, I speak three languages. I speak English well, I speak the language of the heart, and I do use profanity every now and then. So if I curse you, don't get butt sore, put it on your four-step and tell it to your sponsor. But I'm going to watch it a little something because I know there's some babies in here, and I love our babies, and I want them to know that they have this because it's something that ever happened to me. And this is why I love service. Because if we don't keep these doors open, what if one of my children or my grandchild fall prey to this thing they call alcoholism or drug addiction and these rooms was failing? I watch a lot of these doors close down because we get out of 100% of people in these rooms, we get only 10% that want to do service. You ask somebody, do you want to do some service? No, no, no. Man, they ask me, do you? My boy Damien over there. I've been dealing with Damien for 18 years. Man, I'm coming out of Freedom Ranch. We rancher boys. That's a real rancher. If you don't know which ranch I'm talking about, it's the Freedom Ranch. And it's a doggone shame when you have a brother go 45 minutes up in the mountains, up in Campo, and living in a damn dorm. I'm like, I don't know what I was thinking, man. I didn't even like the East County. Well, you got to understand, when I came out of Campo, I ended up in a sober living on Massachusetts and Central. One of my boys had a bunch of sober livings at that time in 2000. I still had my home, I had my wife, my family, but I needed more foundation, man. I need some stability, man. I didn't know how to say no to drugs and alcohol, so I needed to go whatever they suggested. I was like, I'll go. I wasn't rebellious about this. I had that honest desire. I wanted something different, and I didn't know how to get it. So if you guys knew something that I didn't know, I was coming in here to find out, like my sponsor said. I love that old dude. That's my second sponsor in 25 years. I don't go around here talking about I fired my sponsor. I tell all my sponsors, you can't fire me. I don't work for you, fool. So I love when they say that. I fired my sponsor. Damn, I didn't know you could fire us. But they run around here and they changing these sponsors instead of just following directions, taking suggestions. You want to say they is not good for me. Well, then you don't understand. If I wouldn't have got a Caucasian, I probably wouldn't have got honest. See, my own kind of validate bull. Oh, you don't have to worry about it. You can be a racist. See, I had to put on that paper when I did that fourth step that I hated white people. I hated everybody. I hated me. But you come in here and you're smiling cat's faces like mine. This is not no place where I can put on a fake or a fraud or put a mask on and act like I like you. I'm going to tell you straight up, if I like you, I don't. See, I love you today, man, because of this program and some work that I've done on myself. Because when I got here, I had an identity crisis. I didn't know who I was. Hold up, Jenny from the block. Have a seat. Don't walk away. That's one of my sisters. We did a lot of service together, man. I've been busy in these rooms, man. Like my sponsor said, man, you know, a lot of people come in here, they say, oh, I ain't gonna do this, I ain't gonna do that. They look into the steps off the wall, man, and they tell you what they ain't gonna do. I don't wanna hear that. Because if you're doing what you saying that you don't wanna work this step, you don't wanna do that, you wanna skip over stuff, you know, and then you tell me that you had this spiritual awakening. How did you get a spiritual awakening? And how did you ever do a four step if you ain't never did a thorough three steps? I can't, he can't, I think I let him. 1, 2, 3. See, but the how of this program is honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. They told me it's a principle, a bar against all information that could keep a man like me in everlasting ignorance. That's contempt prior to investigation. If I don't attempt to pry this open, there's so much information up in here. I can't stand when people come up here. They book thumpers, man. They want to throw page numbers out. I tell my sponsors, the only page number you don't ever hear Rob talk about is on page 112, and there's three words on the top of that page, and that's all you need to know from me. If you want to know what I find my solution to life, it was in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Because I ain't that bright, and I tell you, because everybody want to run around here, read the first 164 pages. Well, I want to know about the third member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I want to know about the Dr. Nightmare. And then there's 40 personal stories in there. How can you throw out 164 pages when there's 570 pages in there? But I don't know nothing. I didn't come here to preach. I'm telling you what I have to believe for myself. Because if my sponsor didn't teach me about service, and I didn't go into these treatment facilities, what y'all call treatment facilities, the old timers called them asylums. Some mental ward for mentally ill cats like you and me. I'm one of you. Today, I'm not that outright mental defective. Today, I'm a member of society. And I love this place where I found my life. Old timer at another meeting I go to, man, and they said, this was a life-saving soul station. If you arrived here and you want your life back, quit playing Russian roulette. See, because you run in and out of them doors like they revolving doors and stuff. One day that door is going to slam shut. Not the one that man made, but the one God made. And you never get another opportunity to make an amends, because I don't say I'm sorry. Only time Rob is sorry, give me a drink of some old English. I'm sorry as you will ever meet a person. But since I ain't had to drink or drug or do anything out of character, God has been blessing me. I have done a lot of things since I've been in these rooms. I had a lot of commitments, man. I told you, one of my boys, Damien, I throw him under the bus all the time. Because Damien came out the ranch. And Damien will tell you straight up, my name is Robert S. The S stands for stocking. But Damien said, that S don't stand for stocking, that stands for service. Because when he called AA Central, who was over there answering phone? Brother Rob. I was messing people up over there at AA Central. I get a kick out of everybody want to do this, answer the phones on their cell phones or at their house. I used to have fun going to AA Central for 4 hours and sit with my sponsees and do work in there. Drink some good-ass coffee, too. Because ain't nobody in there monitoring it. I put some Folgers up in there. Know what I'm saying, Steve? Be up in the AA Central tweaking on coffee. Looking out the window like, get out that window, ain't nobody coming. You got to have fun, man. Get some humor in your life. Laugh. Loosen up. People come in here with a necktie on, all choked up, tight, man, walking like, man, get some oil up on that butt. Ain't nobody gonna hurt you up in here. We love you until you learn to love yourself. See, I didn't know none of this, man. I just had that we a group of people that would not mix. They lie. I have a host of friends from everywhere, man. I got buddies. I got real genuine relationships. I used to have fair weather relationships. They sit there and drink up everything I got in there, and when I come to, I'm all alone again. I haven't been alone in 25 years. I got people that come out to support what I do in these rooms because they know I'm true to this. I'm not new to this. I've been true to this, man. When you call Rob out to do service, I'm here. You don't have to call and remind me because once you tell me mentally, I got some brain cells back. When they say I was an all right mental defective, they meant that, man. This dude was bright. He knew me, man. I don't want to forget that. I don't want to ever forget that part of my dilemma was lack of power. I have a lot of power today, man. I don't need all of that mess what you're talking about. I don't need the money, the house, all of that $1 million, man. I have $20 and be richer than half of you fools in here. Because I don't waste money like I used to. I bought a, you know, I'm glad you're still here, Jackie. I got to tell you this. It's something profound about this because in my mind, I said I was a living legend in my own head. I grew up in Southeast San Diego. I've been here 54 years. Let me tell you something. I bought a lot of liquor stores in Southeast San Diego. Most profound thing about it, I don't own damn one of them suckers. If that ain't an idiot, if I ain't met one yet. I don't want to forget that. Boy, that weird breeze feel good because it's getting hot up here. That gray is turning on me, man. Man, I love y'all, man. I just want to see everybody, man, get the opportunity that I had to do this. Every year I go back to the treatment facility I got sober there. On the 23rd, I go up to Campo. And I go up there and give back, and I celebrate my time to let them newcomers know I'm down this hill. If you ever come down this hill and you're looking for a real rancher, you find Black Rob up in here. I'm messing people high up because my primary purpose was to get sober, to stay sober, and to mess your high up. I've been doing pretty good at it. A lot of people met me over the years, and they be tripping. Boy, they say, that dude is mean. I like a little pussy cat. I ain't gonna hurt nothing. You could throw a bowl of grapes in front of me today, man. I'd be like a ballet dancer. I'd skip my ass all around them thing. I ain't about to bust a grape because I got a life worth living. I have things that I don't ever want anybody. And you know what? I got a little brother in here, man. I met this dude. He was new too. I met a lot of y'all. And a lot of people met me. Today, me and my boy Rob, man, we went and did some service, volunteered to go to the GSR committee's assembly, man, and it was the bomb. It was some of the best stuff that I can ever think of, man. And I forget, you know, because you look at this program, a lot of these meetings is failing because we got so many speaker meetings on Saturday now. That they falling apart. And if everybody did what they was doing when I got here, word of mouth. I don't need no flyers, man. You ask my Mayor Mesa family. Anybody that asks for an AA announcement, Rob finna throw it up there, man. Where? I be screwing they high up, man. We better go and check them out. They come and see what I'm doing, man, if I'm serious, man. I'm in these rooms, man. I'm having fun. Last week, I didn't make it over here. And me and Joyce, now, you know, we got Michelle to come and speak, man, and it was like the bomb, man, that La Jolla speaker meeting called on Friday to ask me would I come and speak. And you know, I don't turn down a commitment, but I was sure enough thinking, man, I got this girl coming over here. I want to come and hear her speak, but they asked me to come and do some service. And you know what I did? That meeting went from like 300 down to like 20 people. I made phone calls from Friday evening to Saturday morning. By the time when we walked up in that room, we was 18 to 20 deep. This is people that came out because Rob called them to do some service with them. And I love it, man. You know, Abel and Damien, they was my 10-minute speakers, and we lit that damn place up, man. I said it was so beautiful, man. And I love my brothers and sisters for that, man. Anybody that do the things that I do, man, because this is a gift. And the most precious gift that you can ever get, because the most beautiful is paradox about this program, it's in our traditions. See, people only do the steps and then they identify who they are, but then they forget about the traditions too. They said, each group has but one primary purpose, that is to carry the message to the alcoholic that's still suffering. When you don't get it and we come up on your little laurels and start resting on some principles and doing what you need to do, and giving back what was freely given to you. Ain't no reason in the world a meeting should be closed and people should be sitting in here dumbfounded like they don't know what they supposed to be doing. Even the old timers, ain't none of us exempt from relapse. Any one of us can be taken out this game. My disease been doing push-ups, calisthenics, bar work for 25 years, and I know he on swole, because when I do that type of stuff, Chris, I get on swole. I ain't playing. I turned 64 in February, and I'm having fun. I feel good at my age. I lost my mom 3 days before her 63rd birthday. Last year, when I got close to that 63, I was scared. And I got a God. But it had me spooked, because I didn't know if it was something going on with our genes and our family that we was dying early, because she had 13 brothers and sisters. And they all died except for one. My grandmother never married again. I get the opportunity to be an example to this program and to people in my life. I don't call people out because I'm a celebrity speaker. I don't call them out because I'm a circuit speaker. I'm Rob. I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I practice these principles in all of my affairs. I have been wakened to a spiritual awakening that I could do something that I've never done before. See, I came to believe. What do you mean you came to believe? I came to believe that God would want my head in the cloud with him. My feet ought to be firmly planted on this earth doing his will where his people reside. Why you ain't doing it? Ain't no reason in the world we should have to go out of town and look for nobody to come and do no service for us. There's enough of us in here that we all should be proud enough to step up and tell on the disease so the disease will quit telling on you. I don't do this because I'm trying to get rich off of this program. I shut my sober livings down because they wasn't doing nothing for me, and it hurt my heart to see people running around here relapsing and doing all of that. I ain't got no time to be babysitting. If I give you a foundation and tell you what I've shown you by example, if I do it or I suggest you do it, guaranteed I will go do it with you. I don't tell my sponsees they got to do stuff and then I don't do it. I don't tell them to read the book and then I don't read it. I study this book. I ain't dissect this book. You come in here, you can talk about the whole book and tell the whole book, but what's your show story? Because somebody need to hear it. I don't want to know all of this other hunky-dory and stuff. I want to know what you're doing in these rooms to make me want to keep coming back. I love coming into the rooms. I have beautiful ladies with time up in here, young people that love to follow me around, man. I'm coming down from Mirror Mason, old time, man. Everybody just, man, it's like, what are you guys doing? But if they would have told me they had some good liquor, some good dope, and some fine women, I would have said, keep the women because I ain't looking for a housewife. <I if you don't have fun in what you're doing in here, if you ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing, you know, I have lost a lot of things in my life. But this is one thing I don't want to give up. And no matter what I do, I got to stay on the front line, man. Because I don't want to be in the back, man. I don't sit on death row. I got off of death row years ago, man. I used to tell my boys because I had a lot of commitments downtown. And I worked in a lot of treatment facilities. But I didn't work as a counselor. I come in as a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. What was freely given to me, I give back to y'all, man. I showed it by example, man. When you can have cats like Roger, Gerald, Charles, and Mary with all these 50 years, half of a century, I can't even fathom that. I might not even live that long, but I got 25. And I'm well on my way one day at a time. I met a lot of y'all throughout my walk in recovery, man. Me and Damien have been doing this a long time, man. I used to take Damien up to Descanso, man. When he first got sober, he was like less than 90 days. I was going on 7 years. And we had a commitment at a halfway house for adolescents. They called the Phoenix House. It hurt us bad when we seen them kids couldn't get this. And Damien used to say, they got more time than me. What do I have to tell them? Just open your mouth and start talking. Because he had experience. And Damien got 18 years, man. And Damien's still here working with me and doing what he got to do, man. I have family members in here, man. You know, God has been so good to my family. My little brother, he do boxing. He trained people to do this stuff, man. He run his business, man. I got a sister that do real estate, man, and going to school to educate themselves. I got an older brother in here that did walk the yard for 27 years, and God seemed fit to let him out of that dungeon. The same one that I said we was in the cell together, and I said I wanted to kill everybody because I was losing my mama. And I got to be out here and watch and hold my mom's hand. Me and my niece went and seen one of the homeboys that was training my little brother, Chicken, man, that did some service in this community, man, taught a lot of people karate. And this man was in hospice, and I had a flashback, man. I hate hospice. I could deal with anything, but I don't like to see people on their last breath. But I walked a lot of people to the other side because I had old-timers that wanted to break bread with me the last time. Blind Bob called me over to his house, had a hospice bed in his living room. Him and Diane, he just wanted me to bring some newcomers over. And we brought some chicken. Brother, man, they love chicken and watermelon. Forget you, Jerry. That old man, that's all he wanted. And I got to go to his, Darren was there. Yeah, I watched Jewel, man, took newcomers over to Jewel House, man. Jewel said, I'll see y'all at the next meeting. Jewel turned 49 and passed on. I've been running with a lot of these cats. I did hardcore book studies with a lot of these cats in these rooms. I love the people that paved the way and kept these doors open long enough for me to arrive here. I talked to Ryan, man, my boy Ryan. Ryan come walking up in here. I said, dang, man, you got to make it to my 25th birthday. Been knowing Ryan for years. We was in them book studies at Jewel House. Gangster stuff. You don't know what gangsters is? Gangsters is over here living sober. And when I said I got sober, I learned some acronyms around here. And they said, sober, S-O-B-E-R. Son of a bitch, everything's real. They told me to get a big book. But I didn't know what the big book was doing. It was a design for a new way of living. But it was also designed to point you in the direction of a God that you can do business with. But when I learned the acronym, I said, what do you mean? They said the big book. This is the greatest textbook you'll ever read. But an old timer said the greatest novel you'll ever read. And this dude used to tell me, the Big Book, the acronym for the Big Book, B-I-G, B-O-O-K. Believing in God beats our own knowledge. When you don't get up out of yourself and let God do for you what you can't do for yourself. Be willing as the dying could be. Turn your will and your life over. What is my will? My thinking. What is my life? My action. I'm not running around here like a Tasmanian devil. I'm not running around here like I'm better than nobody. I have put myself in a category where we are all equal and we can do this together. Because the dysfunctional family that I thought I had with my mom now, I got a real dysfunctional family right now, and I'm in a new culture with you guys. You know what I'm saying, Stacy? That boy came all the way from up north to hang out with his bro, man. I love you, man. I love everybody that came over here and do what we do. And I give this program everything I got, man, because I don't want to forget. If you ain't got one, get you one. I tell you, get you a big brother or a big sister. I don't tell them that for no reason. I said, am I my brother keeper in another book I read? But also, when they said a sponsor, what's the acronym for sponsor? S-P-O-N-S-O-R. Sober people, sober person offering newcomer suggestion on recovery. When you don't get in here and do some work, give back what was freely given to you. Quit walking around here hoarding on to a $1 million gift. Old timer said, this is a $1 million gift. Shut up your butt a nickel at a time. Why you trying to dissect the book? Study the book. Quit trying to rewrite the book. It's been proven. It came off print in 1939. Why you trying to rewrite it? Start living it. Quit trying to run around here like you a book thumper. I don't need the book to tell you what I've learned in this book. There's so much information in there. If I go through last week, we was over at an old time speaker meeting, Joy. This old man came down, got sober in 77. That boy walked through the whole book, man. And I said, that dude is a book thumper. He screwed some people up in there. Boy, they was like, man, bobbling their head like, man, this dude punched them out. I was so glad to be there to hear that. Because them are the type of old timers that I hung with. I love them old timers because they the ones that paved the way and kept these doors open. And the old timer told me a long time ago, if you got the old timers on one hand, you got the newcomers on this hand, and you got all these principles in front of you, how do you get drunk if you ain't got no hands open? I don't know about you, but I just love what I get to do. I get to be a part of this beautiful movement. They call Alcoholics Anonymous. This 12-step program, they got 39 principles. I get to do all of them. You know, they tell us, you know, we forget about the spiritual concepts of this thing, man. There's so many principles up in here. And the most essential is the three, man, and that's the who of it. And the only way that you don't put that how in the right perspective way is say who. Willingness is the key to this whole thing right here. Without the willingness and the desperation, you can't stay sober around here. You can sit up in this treatment facility. You can sit in the rooms with us and chop it up like you all of that in a bag of chips and walk up out this door and walk into a liquor store and get loaded again. See, I ain't the one that believe in no slip. It ain't no such thing as a slip. If you didn't step on a banana peel and fall down and the bottle fell out the air and hit you in the mouth with the top off, there wasn't no slip. That was a conscious decision to get loaded. Remember, we was talking about my choice maker. I've lost the power of choice. See, I can't slip into the liquor store, slip up to the cashier, tell him to slip me that biggest bottle of bourbon, slip my hand in my pocket, slip out some dead presidents, slip it to the cashier. He slipped me the bottle. I slip out the door. I slip the top off. I slip it up to my mouth. Boy, that's a lot of slipping, don't you think? Sound like you made a conscious decision to get loaded again. So quit coming in here talking about I slip and fall down. If you get loaded, Just come back in here with your tail tucked, the humiliation. If you get humiliated enough, you might get in here and get humbled enough that you can gain a little humility to stay teachable, and you can stay humble in that position where you can get honest around here. Because you can't get honest and tell me all this hunky-dory and stuff. See, I don't get to do this because everybody think that I'm all of that. I'm doing this because God uses me. I am a messenger. I'm in the wilderness hollering out. I don't care where I go. Because when I started out, my arena was Southeast. I do not want to stay in one club talking about we all of this. I go wherever God tell me to go because I'm carrying the message, not the bull. And see, I carry that torch, and I don't care what meetings I go to. When I say, Gerald, this old timer and all of the beautiful people that came from Mayor Mesa, them is some, that's a hell of a posse. They traveled down here late at night just to hang out with Rob. Love y'all, man. I love everybody that came out, man. I tell you, like, it's never a dull moment, man. And I'm gonna shoot this, and then I'm gonna get up out the way, because we always talking about what we won't do and what we can do. I told you, I read that. And there's something in this book, and they call this the solution. If you don't read it, you'll never know this. Almost none of us like the self-searching, the leveling of our pride, the confession of shortcomings which the process required for its successful consummation. But we saw that it really worked in others, and we had come to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life as we had been living it. When therefore we were approached by those in whom the problem had been solved, there was nothing left but for us but to pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet. You got all of the information. I ain't never seen nobody that won't invest in their recovery. This is the big book. This is the 12 and 12. And this is the daily reflection from our meeting, Alcoholics Anonymous. If you get these three books and get you a dictionary, you will be amazed at how bright you can be. And you won't have to keep running around here talking about I'm a crash dummy or a test tube baby. I love you guys. I'm going to tell you like this. They said, if a task is once begun, never leave it till it's done. Be the labor, great or small, do it well or not at all. Don't have to do this, because in the How It Works, chapter 5, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. They said those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not get themselves to this simple program. I ain't quoting nothing but what I've learned over the years, and that's the way my sponsor told me, and one day, you quote the chapter 5, he'll be my sponsor, and I ain't never forgot it since. Thanks for letting me hold your hostage.
Rob, thank you. Thank you very much once again for speaking. And one more time for my buddy Rob. I'd like to thank, I don't have to invite you back. You know you're welcome here all the time, Rob. I'd like to thank the Ladies Auxiliary and the Residence House for a great dinner tonight. Woohoo!